It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
And we're studying in the book of John in chapter 7. And remember, Jesus is in the temple teaching at this point. And verse 25, the Bible says, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Well, Jesus was there, and he was speaking boldly, and some of them couldn't understand why they had not killed him. And they wanted to know, well, do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Verse 27, "Howbeit we know this man, whence he is." They were familiar with Jesus and his family, evidently. It goes on to say, "But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." In other words, they believed that Christ would come in secret, that he would not be known of man. Well, notice here, now they're looking on the physical instead of the actual spiritual aspect of this. It says, "But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." The physical appearance of Christ was an indication that he was God, because he was born of a virgin. Remember, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and because of this, she gave birth to the Son of God. Jesus did come, but it was no secret when he came. Remember, Herod tried to kill all the babies that were born about the same time Jesus was, and Mary and Joseph, Joseph was, of course, Christ's stepfather, but Mary and Joseph went to a different place so that Christ would not be killed. But realize that Jesus Christ came into this world. He was born of a virgin, and he was raised in a carpenter's house. And so evidently these people recognized who he was in the flesh, but they would not recognize him as God. Verse 28 says, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am." He said, "You do know me. You do know that I was born here, that I was raised here, that I am here." And he said, "You should know who I am. I am the Son of God," because I believe that as we study the scriptures and we look into the background of these people, these Jews, had they been versed in the Old Testament and paid attention to God, they would have known Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one who would come and save the Jewish people here. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught," verse 28, "saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." God the Father had sent him, and that's what he's trying to tell these people. You go back to the Old Testament, and you find out that Jesus is all through the Old Testament, and that he would come. He would be born of a virgin. According to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and verse 14, had they read this, and many of them had, I'm sure, and had they really known God and taken God at his word, they would realize that Jesus was the Son of God, that he had come to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. Verse 29, "But I know him." Jesus says, "I know God, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." He said, "I know God. He has sent me to do something." "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." It wasn't time for Jesus to lay down his life for this world. It wasn't time for him to say, "Father, if this cup, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus went to the cross for you and I. He went to the cross for the people of this world. As I made mention in our last study, he died for those people who hated him. He died for people today who make fun of him, who take his name in vain. He died for people. He died for you and I. And when we hear someone take the Lord's name in vain, or we see someone who is a murderer, someone who is a thief, someone who we really don't think should be saved, but Jesus said, "I died for those people. I died that people could have eternal life. Verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Jesus had performed miracles. Jesus had done what no human being could do. He did it because God the Father enabled him to do it. Remember, Jesus was God, but he was here because of God the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Although Jesus is God, he listened to God the Father, and he was carrying out God the Father's wishes that all people would be saved. Now, of course, we know that all people will not be saved, because those who do not trust Jesus Christ one day will be cast into the lake of fire. They're not saved. But those of us who are saved, we need to rejoice daily that Jesus did come into this world, and he loved us so much, no matter how bad we were. Once again, Jesus can save the richest person. He can save the poorest person. He can save the young, and he can save the old. But those people need to come to him faith believing that he is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world. They need to receive him as Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus goes on to say, the Bible goes on to say in verse 32 of John 7, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured. Now remember, there were people back here in verse 31 who had gotten saved. It says, and many of the people believed. And keep in mind that the Pharisees and all these religious leaders, they hated Jesus. He stood for something they did not stand for. He stood for the right way. He stood for the right. They stood for the wrong. And this is the reason that they wanted to kill him. They wanted to be seen as the religious leaders, and they were. They were seen as the religious leaders of the day, but they were wrong. And the people who worshiped these religious leaders, they were wrong. Well, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, that's Jesus, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Well, here they come again. Now they're going to take Jesus. They want to kill him. Verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He's speaking here of his crucifixion. He's speaking here of his death. He says, I'm with you now. He said, but there's coming a time when I'm going to be gone. And right now, I believe what he's saying to those people, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We're not promised tomorrow, according to the Word of God. But we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. The breath of life may leave us today, may leave us within the next few seconds. We don't know. The most important thing is this. Those of us who do know Jesus Christ as Savior, if that breath of life leaves us right now, we'll be with him. We go to be with him because we have eternal life. And then if this breath of life doesn't leave us before he comes back in the clouds, when he says, come up hither, we're going to be with him. And we have nothing to fear. But that person who does not know Jesus as Savior, remember, they're not promised tomorrow. They're not even promised the next breath. When the breath of life leaves, it's too late for them to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, verse 33 says once again, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you. He's going to stay around a while longer. And then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. He says, there's going to be people who's looking for me. They're going to be looking for me in the flesh, but I'm not in the flesh any longer in this human body. I've been changed. My body will be changed, fashioned differently. My body is going to be fashioned such as those people who have trusted me as Savior. They're going to be fashioned like me. For one day, they'll see me as I am, and I'll see them as they are in their fashioned new body that's been changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He says, ye seek me now, in verse 34, and shall not find me. Ye shall seek me, he says, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. He says, I'm going away one day, and you'll look for me, but you won't be able to find me, because I'm in heaven. And those people who are looking for him prayerfully, they will find him in the Word of God, and they'll realize that they need to be saved and on their way to heaven so that they can go to be with him. They will be with him. Verse 35, then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? Well, we know that what he was talking about here, he was talking about going back to the Father after his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. He would be in heaven. But these people brought up a good point here. Will they go to the Gentiles? Or will he go to the Gentiles? Well, we know that by studying the scriptures that Paul the Apostle did go to the Gentiles. Paul the Apostle spread the word of God to the Jews, and the Jews would not receive him. Now, there were some who got saved, and people did get saved, but he was given instruction, well, these people are stiff-necked, they're hard-hearted. Go to the Gentiles now and let the Gentiles know about Jesus Christ. Well, who are the Gentiles? Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew. The Gentiles are everybody else in this world who does not have a Jewish lineage. So not only could the Jews be saved, but the Gentiles can also be saved. Everybody in this world can be saved if they will simply trust Jesus Christ. But these people that we're reading of in John, they said, will he go among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Verse 36, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? He's trying to let these people know they need some change in their life. Remember Nicodemus, he said, what can I do? How can I be saved? In other words, what can I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again, born of the Spirit, born of God. Well, these people, they were wondering, they were asking questions. And might I say that when we, as saved people, witness to someone about Jesus Christ, don't get offended if someone really questions you about who he is, who he was. Don't get offended if people have questions, because you can give them the answers from the Word of God. These people, they were asking questions. There's nothing wrong with that. They said, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? These people wondered. And as people wonder today, they can be saved because they have a hunger to know the truth. And whether we realize it or not, people can turn their back on Jesus Christ and still have the hunger, because there's something missing in their life. They need Jesus Christ to fulfill that void that's present there. There's nothing wrong with people asking questions, because then they can be shown from the Word of God the answers as how to go to heaven. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, when Jesus went to glory, when he went to be with the Heavenly Father, he had already told the apostles, he said, when I go, the Comforter is going to come. The Holy Spirit is going to come. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. When a person gets saved today, they have the Holy Spirit living within them. The Bible says, if you have not the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. Well, we're his because we've trusted him as Savior, and we do have the Holy Spirit once we get saved. But if you've never trusted him, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Know him today as Lord and Savior, and as a saved person, serve him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.